And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/spoken today.
Hello and welcome to pod 18 of Red Side of the Trent, racking them up now. And we come in particularly buoyant mood as Forest have, well, had a fantastic week. So it started off yesterday with a thumping 4-0 victory over relegation threatened Reading, which very much put them back into the playoff picture. That came on the back of a 2-1 home victory against Huddersfield in the FA Cup, which means Forest are now in the quarterfinals of the world's best cup competition. And that came on the back of a 1-1 draw at Sheffield United, which came in the last minute and was the very least that we deserved. We'll be covering all three of those games in due course, starting with the Reading game. So, Lee, it was a very, very quick start. I think it's the second fastest goal we've ever scored in Championship history. The first being Jack Lester after 10 seconds. Just 17 seconds before Worrell found Spence, who then found Davis. Were you in your seat at the time? Were you there and ready? Or no issues getting through into the kickoff?
Yeah, I was there. Interestingly, you mentioned the Jack Lester one. We wasn't actually there for that one. We always remember it because our car actually broke down on the way. And we thought, well, nothing happened. I think we worked out by the time it was fixed and everything, we'd miss about 5 or 10 minutes. I think David Platt was the manager then, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Nothing exciting ever happened then, and we went and scored after 17 seconds. So, yeah, sod's law. But we did see this one yesterday, which was nice. I actually said as soon as we kicked off, look how high Spencer's gone. I think it was clearly, I mean, I think that's how we play anyway, getting the fullbacks, well, the wing-backs high, but Spence was super high. To say we'd been playing 10 seconds, he'd just gone. And then, well, seconds later, the ball's in the net. It was remarkable, really. Just really good to see. Just really nice to see us race out the blocks. And I've said all season, I think, since Cooper came in, that I think if we score first, I don't really fancy us to lose too many games at all. And scoring after 17 seconds couldn't be better, could it, really?
Sort of set the tone quite nice, didn't it, really? Although it did seem as if, obviously, I don't really buy into the argument you can score too early in the game because obviously your goals are good and that's a big, big thing. But it did seem as if we maybe got a little bit complacent and Mert thought, oh, you know, it's only Reading. They're probably going to go down anyway. We've got this in the bag now. And they did seem to eke out a few opportunities. Perhaps quite unlucky not to be going into half-time level, that Laurent header. Reece, what did you make of Forest sort of mentality after that first goal?
Yeah, we was very flat, weren't we? It was very similar to like the England-Italy final, weren't it, when England scored so early. And then as a fan, you're like, come on, let's push on now. But it kind of sends teams a little bit back into the shell. And I thought we did that yesterday. And like you said, Christian, was a bit complacent. And the better side probably would have got back in the game, but they were just same as Barnsley, weren't they? I know they carved a couple of chances out, but they never really looked like scoring. And, you know, and then second half, as I'm sure we'll come on to, we stepped it up again. It was easy pickings for us and, yeah, great win in the end.
Yeah, I'm sure Club 1871, the very famous Reading Collective, had a fantastic day. Adam, so obviously, it did seem as if like words at halftime were very much needed. And also because Forest came out a different side in the second half. It was one that was very much on the front foot again, one that was very eager to get like the goals to let their dominance tell. What do you think people would have said to them at halftime?
he probably gave him a hairdryer treatment, I would have thought, because it wasn't good enough. And Cooper's come out in games when we've dominated and won. Barnsley won, springs to mind, like Reece said, he come out in that and he wasn't happy. And that's just the standard he's setting now. And it's only a good thing, because we are now treating every team with some sort of respect, that we need to go and play our best every minute of every game. Reading could have easily got back into it. They have got the players to get out of this situation. It's just obviously they're off the field. That's probably the thing that's hampering them. But it's good that we come out with a bit of gusto in the second half and took a team to the cleaners. It would have been nice, obviously, to get 5-6 and show even more dominance. But when you've got a game Wednesday night, it kind of doesn't matter too much. 4-0 will do, won't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, good for goal difference as well. Which, by way of speaking, Forest have at current moment in time the third best goal difference in the league with +16. Only Fulham and Bournemouth have better, which is very impressive. Bear in mind, we gave the whole league a 7-game head start. But obviously, like as you mentioned there, Reading do have players that could have hurt us. Obviously, Lauren flashed a header just wide in the half time. Probably should have scored. Horvath made a save from Morrison. Again, it wasn't really a lot on there. It was very much angle wasn't there. He just got a shot on target. Was probably hoping for a corner. But that was all, literally everything that Reading had was offered in those minutes after the first goal, because in the second half they were completely blown away. And Lee, the thing that set that on its tone perhaps was, even before he scored the goal, you know, you can see Forrest were edging closer and closer, but Keenan Davis's second was just absolutely sublime. The turn, the skill, the directness towards goal, and to find the corner where he did and nick it off the post as well. It's always very satisfying to see a goal that comes off the post and goes in. But what did you make of his effort, which is probably a goal of the season contender, really, for us anyway?
Yeah, I mean, it was Colin Moore-esque. It really was. I think he's quickly becoming one of my favourite ever loan signings for Forest. It may sound a bit knee-jerk, but I just can't believe the impact he's had since he came in, to be honest. I think the fact that it's such a welcome surprise as well, I mean, you look at his goal-scoring record before he came in, and I must admit, I think that looks probably so poor based on the fact that every time he's coming on the pitch for 5 to 10 minutes at the end of a game, it's racking up as an appearance. But it's mental what impact he's had. And it's just, yeah, his goal was fantastic. His all-round play is fantastic as well. I mean, he works tirelessly, even on Monday against Huddersfield when he came on. Mm. I always worry sometimes if someone's taken out for such a big game, how will it affect their morale? But he came on with, you know, almost like he'd taken being on the bench quite well, understood the process, understood what Cooper wanted to do. And yeah, long may it continue bringing these players in. I don't remember a season where we've had so many loan players actually look like they genuinely give a toss about the club. I think for far too many players who are literally there just because, oh, great, I can get a few games under my belt, pick up a few quid, happy days, and then at the end of the season I'll go back to my club and we'll go from there. But I think every loan player we've signed this season, they've got the look as though to say, do you know what, if I end up playing for Forest for the foreseeable, then so be it. And long may that recruitment strategy continue, to be honest.
No, definitely. It's something that was touched upon in the week as well. I mean, Max Lowe gave us, I think it was an interview to The Post, a rare exclusive for them. And yeah, he sort of mentioned that most of the loan signings, is it all of them really, want to sort of stay at Forest, like beyond their temporary spell. Obviously, some of those will be easier to acquire than other, especially in Lowe's case, as opposed to forking out 15 million for Jed Spence. But it is good that, like you said, they do have, these players have come to Forest not with the intention of it's only a short-term setback, wait till the manager gets sacked, go back to my parent club and get in. They actually all seem to want to come to the club and deliver and maybe stay for longer, which is great to see. And again, kudos to recruitment from that. And another player who has sort of really kicked on is Ryan Yates, who 3 goals in 3 games, we'll cover that. Reece, his goal on Saturday, I actually thought was a bit harsh. So it was described on Sky on Soccer Saturday, I think it was Rob Palmer. He said that Yates, the ball was worked into him and he had not a lot on, and was basically shooting to try and get deflection for a corner, and it just happened to be on target and the keeper sort of dived over it and it went in, which I think is a little bit harsh having watched it back. But it's also an assist for Jed Spence, one of the easiest ones we'll ever get. But what did you make of the whole sort of move and subsequent goal?
To be fair to Ryan, I thought their keeper looked dodgy all afternoon, and he he probably thought to himself, let's have a test. And it went in. And I mean, you know, that the same goal, he was the one who dropped one in it for Derby, didn't he? Gifted him a point. So
yes, yeah.
Yeah, fair play to you on that. You know, he's got to test the keeper and he's got himself a goal, 3-3. I mean, I was probably like out of the four of us the least critical on the last pod. So brilliant, it's brilliant because, you know, to be fair, like when everyone's giving us, when you're doing like a positive and negative, people do always remember the negatives more than most. But we did say last week that he does make some really good runs into the box. And, you know, the Huddersfield one, that run was timed to perfection. You know, I know people might say, well, it's a free header, but he's made that run, you know, and connected with it brilliantly. The Sheffield United one as well, you know, James Garner on the money, and that was a great header right into the corner. Mainly bugbear from, is a big bugbear in football, is why teams don't have players on the post at corners, because they just clear that off the line. But I don't care, because it's for us. But yeah, fair play to him, you know. We've given him criticism, you know, along with a load of other players who at times, but he's probably deserved it at the time. But, you know, we'll be balanced and I'll give him praise and long may it continues. If, you know, if he can get us into double figures for the season for a midfielder who's, you'd probably say more his defensive attributes, more his quality, then that's absolutely brilliant for Forest. And, you know, another thing yesterday, when we dropped James Garner back into centre mid, the team completely changed. He isn't a cam. He's a box to box midfielder, and to be honest, I'm not taking away anything from anyone else. But for me, and this is probably be a bit of an unpopular opinion, but Garner at the minute is probably our most important player for how we play. Because I just think he just dictates that middle of the park. His delivery is brilliant, and everyone's playing superbly, and I can't knock anyone. It's a great time to be a Forest fan, and I was speaking to odd people last night at the boxing. We're a good side, and we just said that we're a good side, and when's the last time you could have probably said that? I mean, under Lamoussi, it was like, well, we're a bit lucky, and, you know, long may it continue. Brilliant.
No, they're very much so. I think you're right, back. Like I said in the chat, I said before the game, why are we playing Garner and Tenra? If we're going to drop Zinchenko or he's ill, I'd much rather Lolly come into that role because he can at least play there. Garner from the midfield, he is the engine. Like, there's no disputing that. He's that good. Like, yeah. But whatever, it worked. We won 4-0. And one was very pleasing, Adam. And you mentioned this before, actually, was if we can get to a position where we are clinical and we can rest our players while they're still on the pitch, if that makes sense. We went one better against Reading because we took off our best players against the Royals, and we still scored a fourth goal and all the subs connected. So it was Cathu's fantastic flick down the right hand side to Zane Silva, who came off for Johnson. Silva puts it across the box for Surridge, who came off for Davis, and first time finish into the corner. I mean, for a manager, it must be delight. You must be buzzing with that. All three of your subs, all three of your changes have changed the game and put it further beyond doubt. And again, good for Surridge again to get a second goal in two games too.
Yeah, definitely. It's good that we've got strength and depth at the moment. And people aren't even mentioning the absence of Lewis Crabbin with all the goals we've been scoring, which is a massive, massive plus, because when we get him back, he's another asset we bring in. Really happy for Sam Surridge. He's obviously a tireless working striker, and he's obviously got a good finishing of him, as we've seen in the last two games. Scoring two goals, two really good finishes as well. And I feel really happy for Cathu. I mean, I was quite surprised we brought him on. I thought Surridge was the one that we'd bring on, and Davis can kind of be that number, that deep-lying striker, and Surridge kind of run on behind him. But Cathu seems to be this squad player, and he's a big hype man, kind of a bit like what Connor Cody was for England in the Euros, where he's not going to play that much, but he's the first one to congratulate someone, and he's happy to be a cheerleader almost, which is a bit of like, it's a bit harsh to say that because he's a professional footballer in the squad, but he's not moaning. He could easily go to the manager and be a disruption in the dressing room. And and he's obviously not, because he's smiling and he's happy. And I'm happy for Xander Silva, because he's got something in him. He's just trying to get out of him. But when you've got Johnson playing well, Davis playing well, Surridge playing well, it's quite hard to drop him. But it's good to see that we've got Yates scoring, Surridge now starting to score, Davis scoring, and it takes the pressure off like the likes of Johnson and grabbing Zinkanagu, probably our main scorers this season. It's good that it kind of distributed across the entire squad, really.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think as touched on Silva, I mean, we could see like he does get into these very good positions. It's the first time his end product's actually paid off. I mean, it's his first assist for the club. Obviously, he could have had four goals by now, but obviously he hasn't. But no, I think it's really pleasing to show that we actually have got depth, and you know, the signings have actually made an impact. I mean, you think back to January under Lamucci, we signed Diakabi, Bong, and I can't remember the other person we signed. Obviously, made a lasting impression.
Costa.
And you think of like who we've got coming off the bench now, which is night and day. If you like, you see him linking up like that, for example, Surridge is five times the player that Costa is, easy minimum. And you know, I'd say Silva is, you know, didn't cost £9 million, which Huddersfield sort of fleeced for Diakabi. He looks better than Diakabi did. So you know, we've backed up, which is good, and we've got some. We're a bit deep now, which is very good to say. And it does leave us in ninth. We are 2 points behind the playoffs. We are 3 points off fifth. Obviously, QPR's victory over Luton today means that they'll go stay a point ahead of us, regardless what happens on Wednesday. Although it did come at a bit of a loss, the result. Obviously, Steve Cook went down injured at the end, which looked pretty serious. And it looked like Max Lowe went off injured. So, very quick one before we move on to the Huddersfield recap. In terms, regards of the changes at the back, what would you do? So would you go for a back four? Would you bring in certain players? So we'll start with Lee, we'll go around. So Lee, what would your changes be, assuming Cook and Lowe are out injured for the foreseeable?
I think I definitely won't be going four at the back. I think every time we've gone four at the back, we've looked less effective. I think we played Barnsley away and we came from behind to win. That was probably one example where it has worked, but let's face it, Barnsley are absolutely shite. So, I mean, you can't really use that as a guide as such. So I would keep it as a three. I haven't really got too many qualms with Jack Colback playing left back. I do think you guys made a good point in our chat yesterday, though, that the reason we've signed Larrier really is for these situations. So it would be a bit of a surprise not to see him get a bit of a chance now, at least be in the squad for the foreseeable. Mm. But yeah, Colback always looks like a safe pair of hands at left back. So I wouldn't be, you know, too worried by that. I think at centre back, I think it's difficult. Figueiredo's been in around the squad. I just think it would probably be too much of a kick in the teeth for him to then be overlooked by someone who's not even been getting in the squad. Panzo seems highly rated. Whether he's going to throw him in, I'm not sure. I personally think that he will go with Figueiredo. I think he'll try and keep it like for like. Well, not that Cook and Figueiredo are like for like, I suppose, but rather than changing Worrell or McKenna into the centre, to keep them two the same and just slot Figueiredo in there. I think, to be honest, Figueiredo was good when Cooper came in. He looked a lot less error-prone. I know that people like to kind of live in the past with certain players, but for me, Cooper's improved every single player. And when he was getting game time, I thought Figueiredo was one of those. So, yeah, I'd probably go with him, to be honest. As much as Panzo does look an exciting one for the future, I just think in the here and now, in the situation we find ourselves in, I'd go with Figueiredo's experience.
That's fair enough. Interesting point. Reese, what about you?
Yeah, I pretty much agree with most what Lee's said. It's like Figueiredo in the centre of a three. He is like a header and a kicker into Figueiredo. He's not the best with the ball at his feet, so he is similar to Cook in that sense, but, you know, Cook's superior, like Lee said. But, yeah, you probably would expect him to drop into a three. I wouldn't want us to change the formation because, for me, and we'll probably all agree on this, that formation suits us the best. The only, like Lee said, Colback is a safe pair of hands at left-back and you can't knock him for what he does at left-back, but he's not really a wing-back. He is definitely a fullback, so it would be nice to see Larea come in for me personally. But we don't know. I mean, no one seems to know his fitness. This is what annoys me a little bit with Forrest, because you don't really see these questions get answered by, you know, local media and that. You know, how far's Panzo off? How far is Mbeso knocking about? Is Larea knocking about? It'd be nice to know, but we don't. So we'll have to see what happens. But it wouldn't surprise me to see Cole back at left back. But I mean, I'm hoping Larea can get in soon and see what he's about.
And Adam, what was your change to be?
Well, I know Larea's been travelling with the squad. He's just not been in the match days, but he was in the squad Monday, against Huddersfield, I think. So he's definitely knocking about. I just don't know. I think it's one of them, like the players, the 13, 14 players that are getting the games at the moment are in such good nick and good form. It's kind of quite hard to bring someone in from the cold as it is and just throw him straight into this kind of promotional cup run craziness that we're in at the moment. Does it upset the flow of the team, and is it too much of a risk to bring someone in who's not used to the system that we're playing? That's maybe what I'm kind of thinking with what Cooper's on board with. However, I would not be completely against Figueiredo coming in at centre half, in the middle, look really good under Cooper, like Lee said. And I wouldn't also be against McKenna slotting in at the centre half in the middle and Panzo coming in either. I really wouldn't, and I wouldn't mind even Panzo playing left wing back or Larea. I think we've got two decent players there. And I'm not just saying that because we've seen a load of YouTube montages. I just generally think we are recruiting a higher standard of footballer at the moment. Again, but wouldn't complain about Jack Colpatt being there. It's a really good problem to have, really. It's good that we've got strength and depth. But like Reece says, it would be good to know from the media if they could just ask the questions, even if Cooper ignores them, kind of thing. At least they've asked them, do you know what I mean? That's the one thing that I think annoys a lot of football fans as well. But I trust Cooper. You look at his record, it's been phenomenal since he's come in. So I'm happy with whatever the manager does, really. He can't really grumble. He can't really complain about what he's doing, because he's untouchable at the moment, as I would like to say.
No, it's fair enough. I mean, it is a good point about, I think he was asked something. I don't think he was asked specifically about Larea or whoever, but he was basically said, in regards to the injuries, what are you going to do? And I think his comment was, every player will have to play their part. So I would like to see Larea. I know the argument was against Sheffield United was that, oh, it's maybe too big a game for him, but no, QPR at home is also a massive game. You can't just shield footballers from playing in these big games. It's what they want to go and do. So I would personally play him at left wing back, even if it does mean having the midfield conundrum of who to drop out of Colback, Yates or Garner. As for centre back, we have got a bit of options. I mean, you could have Worrell in the middle and put Mbeso on the right. You could put McKenna in the middle and put Pans on the left. You can keep them where they are and put Figueiredo in the middle. We do have quite a bit of versatility there, which is nice to see. But I do agree. I think ultimately the manager's more than I trust over 30 games. So, in fact, actually, I've got some stats for you. It's 30 games of Cooper, as per Lou Wildham. So, we've had 17 wins, 9 draws and 4 losses. Points per game, 2.0 exactly. Over the course of the season, that would see Forest get promoted. So, we've found the back line net 49 times. The highest return from any Forest manager's first 30 games this century. There have been a lot of managers as well. So, obviously, Cooper's managed to get the best out of Forest, as an NC. Davis have the best prolific season of his career with 4 goals and 2 assists, as is Yates with 6 goals and 2 assists. I have to take a deep breath when I say that. 17 wins from 30 in charge. Cooper has already won 4 more games than Houghton did in 13 less fixtures, which is just scandalous, really. And finally, Forest under Cooper have scored 4 goals in a game on 3 separate occasions this season, which hasn't been done in 8 years before. So, quite a revolutionary change, isn't it? So, if he wants to play, he wants to play Kane Davis centre back, whatever, he's got our trust. Let him do what he wants. Anyway, we will now move on to the Huddersfield game, which so far is, I can't believe I'm saying these words, into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, the first time since 1996 when I was approaching my 3rd birthday. It's been that long. Although I will say, Lee, could have started off a bit bleak. Obviously, we are somewhat robbed by the officials, who I will say in advance were the worst officials we've had all season by a country mile. And Sturridge was clearly onside and it wasn't given.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't even close, was it? I mean, yeah, neither assistant looked comfortable, I don't think. Whether taking them out of the VAR comfort zone, if you like, had made them suddenly realise, oh no, we've actually got to wave the flag rather than waiting and letting the technology bail us out. I mean, yeah, it wasn't even close. I don't know what he's flagged for there, really. Just a drop in concentration, which thankfully didn't cost us. I mean, when they went and scored moments after, I thought, here we go. Our luck's run out. We're going to lose. I know it sounds really negative, but I just figured it'd be the same as the league game. I thought it'd be, they'd put two banks of four in and just frustrate the living daylights out of everyone. But thankfully, you know, we do seem a bit of a different breed these days. And yeah, it was just a great night, wasn't it? I just thought it was really, it's great to see the City Ground when we're winning these games on these occasions. I don't remember a season that's been so enjoyable in that sense. Whether the addition of Depeche Mode at the end gets everyone buzzing for it a little bit more, I don't know. But it's just really nice to see. I thought it was the sort of performance against Huddersfield that kind of, it makes you feel almost a little bit emotional. You know, that's what you go around the country supporting your team for essentially nights like that, where you set up a quarter final in what I feel is still one of the best competitions in football, to be honest, against a team like Liverpool. As much as we don't want to blow smoke up Liverpool's arse too much, they are a fantastic side to watch. And the fact that they're going to be gracing us with their presence for a one-off game at Wembley Stadium is, wow. Can you imagine ever uttering that sentence and not talking about Football Manager when Chris Hughton was manager? It's absolutely insane. So, yeah, it was just, what a night.
Definitely, yeah. And I think that the key thing was, I mean, going back to the offside, it was the fact that none of their players even bothered appealing it. Like, it was so clearly on. But as you said, we were immediately made to punish for it. We were very sloppy from a set piece. Reece, lots of things were wrong with that. I mean, Cook's marking was wrong. The commentator picked Yates out because the ball was straight at him. He didn't really jump. And for me personally, Horvath was glued to his line. I mean, those sort of mistakes coming very quickly after a massive deflating note that could have been quite detrimental, really.
I think that's why it was, wasn't it? Because we'd started the game so well as well. We came out, you know, the crowd was up for it. We came out the traps flying, and then we built up to a point where we'd created the chance and scored. And then, you know, the assistant referees made a howler and it cost us. And within a few minutes, we're 1-0 down. It's crazy. I don't know about you guys, but whenever there is a goal which I do think watching it is a bit tight, I will look at the linesman if I can before that, obviously, euphoria. And that goal, I didn't even look because I just thought it looked like it come from behind the player. And then obviously, like, as you're celebrating, you turn your head the other way, I saw the flag up, or like, couldn't believe it. So, and then you're like, and then a few minutes later, 1-0 down. And I thought the exact same as Lee. I thought, here we go. It's going to be, like Lee said, they're going to sit back. They're going to soak the pressure up. The crowd would have got frustrated because we've been robbed of the decision. And we're going to go out 1-0. And the referees basically put us out pretty much. And, you know, it would have been a toxic night on social media. But we've said it before, haven't we? There has got to be a point where you kind of got to change that switch in your head of mentality towards Forest, because under this management of Cooper, they're just defying things what typical Forest used to do. And like, you know, even yesterday, I was pretty confident yesterday we'd win. I mean, other regimes, you'd think, I know Reading at the bottom, but it could be a slip-up today. And we won 4-0. And to be fair, we didn't get out of second gear, second half, and it's hammered them. So, you know, and now that obviously that quarter-final against, you know, that mob. Like Lee said again, and these are the nights you live for as a football fan. we've not played him for so long. There's obviously the rivalry from the past. I think most neutral fans are not fans of Liverpool, let's be honest. Mm-hmm. You know, you again, like Lee said, you've got to take the hat to it. Your hat off to him. For me, they're the second best team in the world behind City. It wouldn't surprise me if they won, if they ended up winning the Prem or the Champions League, Liverpool, because, you know, you look at the squad depth they've got now. They keep, there was a guy on Talksport on in the week about it, saying, oh, our squad depth's not as good as Man City's. And you look at their squad depth now, they've got some proper depth, you know, like the attackers and that. They've got like five or six attackers they could rotate around. So it'll be, it's going to be a tough game, isn't it? But you never know. And we'll see. We'll see what happens.
That's what happens. Adam, obviously, as we mentioned, like, it was very strong resilience to turn it around. And like, the goal was no less than reserved. Sarage finally getting one in the scored, goal scored section. And again, the through ball from James Garner, that 40-yard ball, and the run from Yates was just absolutely fantastic. And obviously, the way it came to him, he wasn't going to miss. But again, that's, like Reece just mentioned, that sort of resilience, that sort of not knowing when they're beat. I don't really want to throw out the phrase that those tossers down the road fucking go and say every week. But when they lose, which is even funnier. But it does seem that, you know, there is a sort of like a never say die spirit at Forest.
I think that's been installed from like day dot and it since Cooper's come in. And I didn't feel that. I didn't feel nervous against Huddersfield. I mean, they scored against the run of play, and I think they'll admit that. I don't think they touched the ball for the first 15 minutes. And it was a really nice, to be fair to them, it was a really well-worked corner because they just, it was just set up weird. And then, like, front post, Horvath got trapped in on his line from Spence and someone else and got nowhere near it. And Huddersfield are at the top of the leaderboard for scoring from set pieces for a reason. They obviously work on it a lot. However, I just thought they didn't offer anything else. I mean, I know Horvath had to make a few saves from him, but by the end of it, we had so many clear-cut chances. I think Garner spooned one and Spence spooned one towards the end. I just was not... It kind of just reminded me of the game at the City Ground, except we actually took chances this time and won the game in the end, I would say, comfortably. But to Huddersfield, I actually think it was the best fixture we've had in the FA Cup. I thought they put up a better fight than Arsenal, and I thought they were better than Leicester. That's credit to Huddersfield. I mean, I ranted and raved before we played them and got beat 1-0, so that bit me in the arse. This time I didn't underestimate them because they're a hard working side. But we deserved the win in that one. Sorry, just finish was sublime. Great for him to score his first one. The first one that got disallowed was a good finish as well. Get across his man, slotted it against Blackman, and then obviously Yates on hot form. I'm gonna lick his boots. He was sublime, and he's been sublime all this week. Can't really fault him. He's done amazing. I mean, we'll get onto the Sheffield United game because I thought that was his best game of the season for me. But yeah, great run for not only the goal for Sturridge, but for the free kick. He just drifts in and heads home. And we criticised his heading a couple of weeks ago, and this and then this week he's completely shown us all up. And I'm all for it because I'd rather be proven wrong than proven right. So fantastic. It's a free hit against Liverpool. I just can't believe people are going to see Jurgen Klopp shouting at the referee when we get a goal and the VAR doesn't rule it out. And I'm looking forward to Keenan Davis putting in Virgil van Dijk in the trench. So, you know, all up for that.
I think we all are, yeah. As you mentioned those saves there from Horvath, Lee, obviously you've obviously been very quick to defend, or keepers in general. Obviously, I think you appreciate perhaps more than most that it's a very difficult job on the pitch, as we all know. It's a very specialist role. I guess I sort of thought the saves were quite routine. And when I watched them back, I was still like, oh, okay, actually, maybe not a little bit. But it's more the fact that he makes them look routine. I mean, the one from they hit the post and then was like, he shouldn't really have a right to save that. The free kick, again, it looked straight at him. But again, it very could have easily gone under him. And the one that Ward hit early and he sort of tipped around the posts. You know, all three very good saves. And from a keeper that's deservedly kept his spot.
Yeah, I think the one from Thomas was the best. When it's kind of come off the post and you're already on the ground, to actually compose yourself and all you're thinking is get up and make yourself as big as possible before he shoots. And he didn't really have time to do that, to be honest. I mean, if Thomas puts it high, it goes in, essentially. But he didn't, and he still got to make the save. And I think that kind of showcased his reactions and how useful he can be. I actually thought, I think it's strange sometimes how different things look when you watch them back on the highlights, because I thought the save he made from Ward that wasn't the free kick was a really, really good save. And then I watched it back and I thought, well, that's probably his most rude. That's the one where if that one goes in, you think, wow, how's he not saved that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I know you thought the free kick was quite routine, Christian, but I think, like you say, he makes it look routine because he gets down so quickly to it. And I think 9 times out of 10 goalkeepers are expecting a free kick to go high. Whereas when it goes low, it kind of, you've got to adjust your feet quickly. And I think he does that really well, to be honest. Whether, I must admit, that's the sort of thing that Samba does really well. His footwork is excellent. And whether that's rubbing off on Horvath, remains to be seen, because obviously we didn't see a lot of him before. But yeah, his footwork is quite good. I thought it was a bit disappointing he got pinned in. I think coming for crosses in the sky is a bit of a confidence thing. And I think maybe first 20 minutes, big occasion, maybe that did get to him a little bit. Because I think when he did finally come and punch one clear against Huddersfield, he came for a couple more afterwards and he seemed absolutely fine. So yeah, I think he's done very well. To be honest, everyone seems to love Samba, so it's been quite big shoes to fill, but he's done it really well for me.
Yeah, definitely, it's a fair point. And again, like, while he's keeping clean sheets, you don't mess around with that. It's the winning former, isn't it, for this time, at least for this moment in time. So, and he stays, and deservedly so. I mean, like, yeah, USA and all that. So yeah, I guess it would have been quite easy for sides, you know, second in the league at the time, who I, again, won't backtrack on like Adam and say that. I won't give them credit because I don't deserve it. I still think they'll crumble. But fair enough, they're looking a pretty surefire bet for the playoffs at the minute. But I guess even with 6 changes, even with Lewis O'Brien out, you know, it's still still a side there on merit ultimately. And the fact that we kept them at arm's length, surely it puts us in good stead should we get to the playoffs, if we can prove that we can do it on nights like that.
I think from their perspective, that team selection was a sign of, yeah, we could maybe look at pushing into that top two personally. For them to make 6 changes, and especially like you say, Christian, leave Lewis O'Brien out, who for me is their best player.
By a mile. Yeah.
It was just a surprise. That probably says to me, well, you know, if we win, brilliant, but if not, we'll, the league's more important, which to be fair, for any club in the Championship, it is. You know, I know we've got, you know, fans have romance of the cup and that, like we all have at the minute, but for a financial aspect, you know, bread and butter is a league. So, yeah, you know, in regards of keeping them out, I just thought, you know, Joe Warren and Ryan Yates, you know, being Forest passion merchants, just literally went into overdrive that last 15 minutes and they was literally kicking, heading, tackling, everything. And literally put everything on the line and just stepped up a level to get us there. And then, and when they step up a level, to think you've got the likes of Scott McKenna and Jack Colback and other experienced pros below him, and like Keenan Davis come on and to put himself about as he usually does. Yeah, it was, yeah, we've seen it out pretty comfortably. And, you know, like them days of Lamucci of crumbling, you know, in the last minute, we're the side now who takes points off other teams. So, you know, long may it continue. You're looking forward to every game. I can't wait now till Wednesday because it's a massive game Wednesday. You know, definitely. Obviously QPR winning today. I'm just looking forward to end the game because, you know, we're into the running now, the business end of the season. And yeah. Keep the games coming thick and fast.
The momentum generated is fantastic, as we say on FM. as you mentioned, Adam, we could have scored more. Like the chances that Spence and Garner missed, especially, were, you know, glorified. Sort of ones you hang your head in shame that you missed them. Like it could have been so much more comfortable as well. I mean, but I think, like you said, it was very much like the league game in that we had created a lot of chances. It's just on this occasion, two of them fell our way.
Yeah, I mean, you can't really like complain too much. We've won the game in the end, and they didn't matter in the end. I'm just, you're kind of glad that people are getting in the right areas, because that always bodes well, especially like your midfielders and your defenders. I mean, if your strikers start getting in the end of those sort of chances, which they are at the moment, then it only bodes well for us. I mean, I know Huddersfield made six changes and they've lost that game, but you think now on Wednesday, how many, literally every player is going to run and cover every blade of grass on Wednesday because they're going to want to play in that team on Sunday against Liverpool. Yeah. And Cooper is obviously breeding this winning mentality, win every game we can and take it in our stride. It's a great positive attitude to have, and our fans are now getting behind it so much. I mean, like Reece says, he's looking forward to going to watch every week, and I'm looking forward to as many games as I can get to or listen to or whatever. It doesn't matter whether you're having to support the team from 5,000 miles away in maybe like Australia or America or whatever. Every single person who's a Red is actually behind the team at the moment, and that's a brilliant thing to be a part of in general. So. I think people are, who are part of the club, are receiving that in full at the moment.
No, definitely. Yeah, it's a very good time to be a Forest fan. Which is rare and unusual to say.
It's very weird.
Yeah, very very surprising. And yeah, obviously that Forest in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, unbelievable. We'll keep saying that until it still doesn't feel semi real, does it? I think it'll probably be when game kicks off against Liverpool, but like, shit, this is actually a quarter final where it actually proper sinks into us. But I think I've noticed it's the fourth time, I think, since they built New Wembley that we've been a game away from it. So I hope it's fourth time lucky. But anyway, so we'll move on to the Sheffield United game now, and which obviously finished a 1-1 draw. However, I do still think that did us a bit of an injustice, and it's possibly the best we've played all season, Lee. Home or away, and only got a point to show for it, which is a bit unfortunate. But that start really, like, for a club side, I don't think they hadn't conceded in the league at home since October. You know, they were an imperious run of form, and we just ripped that script up before it even got a chance to get off the ground.
Yeah, we did a real job on them. I totally agree with everything you've just said, really. I think it was our best performance of the season. If only we'd scored that penalty. I mean, I don't want to slag him off too much for the penalty. I mean, if it goes in as it did against Blackburn, everyone lauds him and happy days he's sent the keeper the wrong way. But maybe I'm a bit old fashioned. In that situation, I'd just love him to show like an experienced head on young shoulders, if you like, and just, yeah, I've taken one all season. The keeper's looked at it. He knows where I'm going to go. I'll just whack it into the corner. Mm. But he didn't. So, I mean, Brennan Johnson's bailed us out no end of times this season. So, it's one blemish on an otherwise sparkling campaign. But, it was a good performance. I thought Steve Cook was probably one of the best he's played, to be honest. I think because I sit in the upper tier at the home games, I think it was the first time I've had the chance to see Cook up close. And I couldn't believe how much talking he did, to be honest. His experience in this relatively young side, I think, will be massive. So let's hope his injury isn't too bad, to be honest. But yeah, it was just a good all-round performance, to be honest. The goal was the very least we deserved. I didn't think it was coming, if I'm being honest. I thought we were going to lose. But I mean, if you want an indication of just how much of a job we did on Sheffield United, they went and battered Middlesbrough. Everyone's waxing lyrical about Chris Wilder. Oh yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. He went and got walloped 4-1 at Sheffield United. Welcome back, Chris. it was a great performance. Just a shame we didn't get the 3 points, really.
No, definitely. I mean, I think we'll talk about that penalty now. I think the first thing Cooper said after the game when he was asked about it was Johnson will take the next penalty if he's on the pitch, which is fair enough. But, you know, it's just so frustrating. I mean, like, you know, we could have had a penalty before then, obviously, when Davis was hauled down and the ref didn't give anything. And then, obviously, Spence went flying. And that toss of Don Goodman with his typically anti-Forest. I swear he must have released him as a kid or something because he fucking hates us. It's like, oh, it's not a penalty. When it clearly was. And, you know, you get a chance like that against a side like that, in form like that, for a penalty to... Yeah, I mean, it was bad. It's like Lee says, I'm reluctant to be too critical about it because the amount of times Johnson's bailed us out and will continue to do so while we have him, but that was bad.
The thing is, isn't it? Penalties are one of them, isn't it? I mean, it's a very touchy subject, penalties, because like, how many penalties you see where they've sent the keeper the wrong way and they've literally passed it in, and if the keeper dives that way, he makes an easy save, and that's the difference. You know, I know I'm going down a bit of a slippery slope here, but it's one of them. I'm not having this bollocks from Sheffield that he did his own work, that he would have known that Johnson took his only penno down the middle. Is that the reason why he stood down the middle? I don't know. I just thought Brennan's penno was a bit obvious who's going down the middle, to be honest. But yeah, to me, any penalty what's saved isn't a good penalty because you put it in certain places, keeper isn't getting to it as a penalty. And it is a shame because, like we said, very similar to the Huddersfield goal, what we got to slide in terms of, we built us way up to get that chance and then, you know, we missed that. It was his own fault for missing that chance against Sheffield. So, yeah, it was a shame. And then it was like typical Billy Sharp won it, poached your championship. You know, been there, seen it, done it in the championship. And you're just thinking, fucking hell, he's not had a sniff all night. And then he's had one chance, stuck it in the net, and they're going to do us here. Mm-hmm. You know, and then thankfully at the end, we got a point. You know, with a euphoria at the end, it is a point game when you're going 1-0 down into stoppage time. But we really could have won that game. It was a shame. And like Lee said, you know, their home record before that, they hadn't conceded for a while. I know they got thumped yesterday away from home, but then they went and battered Middlesbrough in midweek. So for the way we played and some of the build-up play, that was tremendous. It was just, we missed that cutting edge, and it was just, that was probably one game where you would have maybe thought, it would have been nice to have Lewis Grabman on the field that time.
Yeah, perhaps. Although it's worth noting that in his absence, obviously Keenan Davis stood up, and Adam Davis, I thought that performance against Sheffield United, I mean, there was no one else you could look beyond for man of the match. He was absolutely superb. He tormented their back line. He bullied them. He got in their faces. I mean, even a big lump like Van der Berg was going nowhere near him. Didn't want the smoke. Like, Davis ran the show at Bramall Lane.
So did Ryan Yates, James Garner. Everyone ran the show because Sheffield United couldn't have, I mean, they were trying to hit the self-destruct button from minute one. They were giving the ball away that many times. We just couldn't capitalise. And Davis just, he was a brute, wasn't he? He just reminds you of like, kind of that Antonio when he was with us for that one season and people obviously liking him to Colly Moore and whatnot. He's just flourishing playing week in, week out. And he said that yesterday in his interview with Colin Frey. He's very enjoying his time and he's needed this for a long time. Max Lowe, if you go on the paper talk, Keenan loves it. So get your checkbook out. We were tremendous. I think what let us down is just that clinical edge. I mean, Zinchenko was guilty of it. He was shooting when he should have passed. There was a time when he went through one on one and he could have squared it and he shot and Fodder made a decent save. But one on one, you bank on a player like Zinchenko to hit the back of the net at least. But yeah, just typical football, isn't it? Where you're on top and you don't take your chances, and someone like Billy Sharp gets on top from there. One bit of quality from Morgan Gibbs-White, and it's a great header, to be fair to him. And they got on top of us for a 10-minute spell where I wasn't sure we was going to get back into it. But credit to Horvath, he made some really good saves at a critical point, and you could say he's the reason why we were still within the game at 95 minutes, and then. Yates, he pops up, doesn't he? But he was brilliant in centre mid. I did worry. I mean, you got Ollie Norwood, Sander Berg, who cost, what, 30 million or whatever he was
in a lot of
Premier
money.
League. Garner and Yates were sublime. Yates, in particular, intercepting, forward passing. I mean, the weeks before we were saying he was going backwards and sideways, but against Sheffield United, it was sweeping balls straight forward into players, into dangerous areas. I'm running out of superlatives, really. Like, it was that kind of a performance from him, and I'm absolutely happy to be proven wrong with him at the moment. He's showing why he's amongst the 13, I would say. I wouldn't say he's like number one on the team sheet, but he's closing in on it, isn't he, at the moment? I mean, you can't really... It's a great dilemma to have when you've got Jack Colback, James Garner and Ryan Yates all playing eights out of 10 every week, if not higher. So, fantastic. We're gaining a point. We'll be in there.
Yeah, I reckon so too. Lee, obviously, as Anne touched upon, some magic from Morgan Gibbs-White. Again, I'm a player all too familiar to Cooper, having tutored him at England 21 level. And on a personal note, someone part of my all-conquering Forest side on Football Manager 19. It was brilliant the way he cut insides and then got the obviously the cross in. But I'm not going to say it was avoidable in the sense that, you know, it was a bit negative. Because obviously, you know, the classic stop the cross, stop the goal. He's sold Colback a dummy superbly to put the cross in. That's fine. That happens. Take your hat off. Top skill. I do think that it's sharp of all people on the pitch, like, who's done it for a living for the last 15, 16 years. Why is he being left unmarked, just ghosting between a gap? That's the only thing that got me for that goal. Because they ended up with Spence marking him of all people. It's like, why on one centre back's got him?
Yeah, it was a bit strange. It was a rare moment where we, in an otherwise great performance, where we just completely, like, we just switched off. It was all a bit slow motion, I thought, the goal. Yeah, it's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, one of Max Lowe's biggest strengths, I think, is tackling and his ability to close players down quickly. This is the problem when you sign lone players from your own division, I suppose, isn't it? The two games that they can't play often comes back to bite you. You look at the Middlesbrough game with Spence when we had to throw Finn back in there. He grew into the game, but in the first half, O'Neill and Andes just absolutely ruined him, didn't they? It was a similar situation, I think. Gibbs-White kind of perhaps knew that he'd have a bit of joy from Colback, fancied his chances of getting a couple of early ones in, and unfortunately for us, one of them that he did get in, Sharp, was on hand. So, yeah, it was a bit disappointing, but I suppose it's one of them. You're going to get them, aren't you, in this league? Yeah. This league's, there's some good sides, there's some good players, and Billy Sharp, he's done it time and time again. Like you say, it was just frustrating that of all the players that we switched off and decided to let Spence mark, bizarrely, it was Billy Sharp, the bloke who's scored the most championship goals ever. So, yeah, it was a bit disappointing, but we got the point. So, happy days, I suppose.
Definitely, yeah. And obviously I'm coming on to that point now. I mean, it's 95th minute. And I will say, some of his deliveries, I mean, you know, from James Garner now, I mean, very early in the game, you know, he put one for Davis, which just flashed over. You know, he put one for Cook, which obviously rattled the bar. I remember thinking, like, as he was going to take that corner, I was like, this is it. Like, this is clutch time now. This is, you know, let's see what you can do, Man United whiz kids. And Reece, sure enough, bang on the money. Yates uses Worrell as a bit of a leverage, and it's in the back of the net. But we can't take that Garner delivery for granted, because we'll constantly be a threat from set pieces while he's standing over them.
Garner's delivery is... I know Trevor Sinclair said on Talks, what, didn't he? Was it after the Leicester game? Mm. Yeah, he called it David Beckham-esque, didn't he? So, that is some statement. The thing is with Garner, like, there is sometimes when his delivery isn't the best, but what I love about Garner is he's always willing to put a ball into the mix. And something what he is really good at is, like, he did it a few times yesterday where he drives the ball really low. And it happened a few times yesterday, and it literally, one, I think, just went wide, and it was causing like a pinball in their box. And when you put balls like that in with pace low on the floor, and that, it was only a matter of time before it just hits someone and goes in.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the corner for the Sheffield game, right on the money, wasn't it? And I just can't believe Ryan Yates, after we'd always said, and a lot of us are the same, even off this podcast, you know, it's 50p added. I just love
round
that
pound head
here.
Now.
That's what I'm going to come on to. That tweet is like a shiny round pound, brilliant header, perfect into the corner. And it was, you know, I don't know, we mentioned it earlier, but it really was the least we deserved. I would have, especially with them being a playoff rival, I would have felt vastly hard done by and very morbid if we'd have lost that game because we didn't deserve to lose at all.
I think I've still got bruises on my knees from the seats in front of me when we scored, honestly. Like, that place is a bloody death trap. It's a very good chance that if we were to finish in the playoffs, which, you know, fingers and toes crossed we will do, there is a good chance we'll play Sheffield United. On the basis of what you saw on that game, okay, fair enough, they might have had a few injuries, and the basis of what happened at the City Ground, in which, again, one all draw, a bit unfortunate to go behind, then clawed it back an equaliser. How do you think we'd fare against them in a top six shootout?
It'll be a bloody good contest, won't it? Two sides with a lot of history. Obviously, that playoff semi-final.
2003, wasn't it? Yeah,
under Paul Hart, which was a ridiculous game for the neutral. So, on the basis of the two games, I feel like we could have Sheffield United's number, but they're kind of similar kind of to us. They don't give up very easy. A lot of a few local lads and that. Good team spirit. Obviously, got a very good striker in Billy Sharp, but without him, I know full well they rely on him heavily. So if he gets injured or whatever, that it's kind of like who's scoring, because Rhian Brewster and Ollie McBurney aren't doing it. I mean, I've never rated McBurney. I thought he was a donkey even at Swansea when he scored 20 odd goals and they signed him. I was just like, why are they signing him? He's shit. You'll probably end up scoring the winner now. But yeah, no, I'd fancy our chances against anyone. I mean, even Middlesbrough, and we lost two games to them. I think I fancy us against anyone on our day. So I think teams will fear us just as much as anyone. So the playoffs is a lottery at the end of the day. I'm quite happy. I mean, even if we missed out, I'd still think we've had a really good season. It would be disappointing because of how good we seem to be at the moment. But we can't be too disappointed because it's so tight in there, isn't it? I mean, I think we're going to say this for the next several podcasts. It's just going to go to the wire, isn't it? So I fancy us against anyone. If it's Sheffield United, I fancy us. So whoever, I don't care. Bring them on. If we get there, we've got to get there first. We've got to take every game one step at a time, as every manager will say. QPR first on Wednesday. Let's beat them first, yeah. And see where we are next week.
Always, that's why I keep saying, if we get there, it should be get there.
I don't want to be like too optimistic, because you just set up for like a exactly, lull, yeah, don't you? But
and like we said before,
I'm a little confident.
We all are, but like I think the most frustrating part is, like we've touched on before in previous pods, we gave the league a 7-game head start. Like, imagine where we'd be with that. We'd probably be fighting out of Bournemouth right now and sort of coming on this pod regularly every fortnight calling Parker a fraud for assembling a bunch of players that you can't get playing together. But sadly, isn't to be, at least not yet anyway. Anyway, we move on to the final part, which is our predictions for the next two games. I'm going to do a special thing for you after the Liverpool game and going into international break, which comes immediately after that. So the next two fixtures are Queen's Park Rangers at home on Wednesday and then Liverpool at home on Saturday. And if those who want to watch on TV, QPR's on Sky and Liverpool's in ITV1. So, Lee, we'll start with you. Your predictions for two very big games on the banks of Trent.
Yeah, massive. Tricky. I've been quite optimistic lately on these predictions, so I think I'm going to stick with that positivity. I think we'll beat QPR. No other reasoning than I don't fear anyone coming to our place at the minute. But I do think it'll be a tough game. So I think it might be 3-2 Forest.
Goal fest then.
Going to go for some goals, yeah. 3-2 Forest. And then Liverpool, it's tricky. I've said penalties in the last two games, I think. And I feel like we're going to get some drama. I mean, the Liverpool one's difficult because I'd love to see what team they're going to play first. I genuinely think if they play I was looking at the team that he played at Preston in the Cup. I mean, if he plays something like that, I think there's hope for us of getting a really positive result. But I sense that with it being a game away from Wembley, there might be two or three big guns in there. But yeah, I'm going to stick with the shout of penalties. I think it's going to be a really good occasion. I think the fans are going to, it's cliched, but they're going to be the 12th man. Yeah. I sound like a Reading fan now, don't I? But yeah, I think I'm going to go penalties. You're going to push me for a winner, aren't you? I've got to say Forest, haven't I?
Can't
off to Wembley we go.
Okay, Reece, so QPR and the Liverpool. Oh, you're on mute.
My bad. QPR, you know, again, they're not a team who... We're very horrible, aren't we, to every other team on this podcast?
yeah, I think it's probably because they're managed by Warburton and we sort of subconsciously think fine margins. They're doing well.
To be fair to them, to go to away at Luton and win is a cracking result.
Huge result for them, yeah.
Mm. So it will be a tough game, which, you know, and it will, I do expect it will be a tight game, but I think we'll edge it, so I'm going to go 2-1 for that one. Because while Lee was doing his prediction, I was looking at Liverpool's team for the last FA Cup game, which was very rotated. Well, they played Norwich in the last round.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was kind of
I'll quickly run through it, which was Alisson, Milner, Konate, Gomez, Tsimikas, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Henderson, Jones, Minamino, Origi, Jota. I would expect them to be a tiny bit stronger than that against us. And with, obviously, if it does go tits up, then he's got his array of stars on the bench. But there's absolutely no chance after waiting years to play these that I'm predicting them to beat us. So I'm going to go to 1-0 to Forest.
Nice.
Tight game. And yeah, I hope you don't go into penalties because that would be, God.
I wouldn't have any fingers left. They're no fingers.
We've seen how good they are as well in the Carabao Cup final.
Even their keeper score.
James Milner's like, I don't think I've ever seen James Milner miss a penalty, you know what I mean? So,
if they're reliable.
You know what I mean? So, but even to be involved in this type of games, like we mentioned earlier, you know, you do after the start we've had as well, you have to pinch yourself a little bit. And I know Adam said earlier it wouldn't be too disappointing if we didn't get in the playoffs this season, but it's getting to that stage now, like as well Lee said earlier, with how many loan players have impressed this season, I'm just starting to think it would be a little bit disappointing if we didn't get crush it this season now with how well we're playing.
I mean, personally, I don't think it'll be a case of gate crashing. I think we'll be comfortable.
Yeah, but I'm just using it because we're like outside it in a minute, you know what I mean?
We'll have to see. Obviously, a lot can happen in football. We're still 11.
It's just because we haven't, like, I don't think we've actually, like, been in it, have we? We've been in it, like, once, the playoffs, and we're, like, come out.
Yeah, we fell out very quickly.
Yeah, but
it
was after we beat Blackburn we got in.
Yeah, and then we could have got in if we beat Cardiff, didn't we? That's when we blew it.
Yes.
It's just strange because we're on an amazing, really good run of form and we can't seem to get in them.
It's the same like teams. I mean, look at the other end. I mean, this is why it makes it so exciting, because obviously everyone around us is winning games as well. It's the other end of the table. I mean, look at Barnsley yesterday. Had they held on against Fulham?
Fulham, yeah.
What, 2 points behind Reading? Now it's only you get a win in the bottom half, and obviously you gain significantly. You get a win at the top, you just keep your place. So it's going to be hard, but a long way to go. But anyway, Adam, QPR and Liverpool.
QPR, tricky game. Very, very tricky game. Again, I think what Lee said about slagging every team off that comes on the podcast. You don't want to do it, do you? But I think with how we're playing at home, we finally found a bit of a rhythm. There we're starting to climb the home form table, and I've said that if we can win every game at home this season, we'll be comfortably in the playoffs, because I think we've got enough to pick maybe a couple of wins up on the road still. So if we can keep that, then I expect us to win Wednesday night, and I think we'll win 2-0. It'll be tough, but I think we'll get there in the end. I think we'll just have a bit too much for them, hopefully, especially with our tempo and our passing at the moment, we're looking good. Sunday against Liverpool, It's a free hit, isn't it? Just go Gunno, I guess. I mean, I'd rather us go Gunno and lose 2-3-0 than kind of like sit back, counter attack. I think we just go for them and play to our strengths, really. And if we lose, we lose. If we win, I think there'll be a bit of a party in the city, won't there? And whatnot. I'm not going to predict us to lose. I think I'm going to go with Reece. I think we might sneak it 1-0 somehow. yeah.
I reckon it's okay. I reckon for QPR it'll be a 1-0 Forest win. I think back to when we went to Loftus Road, there wasn't a lot in it, but I felt we were the better side and we just got hit by a sucker punch. We should have had a penalty or at least 2 penalties way before then as well. So you think at home, our own fans behind us, yeah, I think it'll be tight. It won't be easy because obviously they like keeping the ball very well, but then again, so did Swans and we cut them to ribbons. So I reckon 1-0 Forest. And yeah, a good defensive display again. Obviously, there's a lot of attention as to who goes into those spots for Cook and Lowe, assuming they're both injured. Of course, we'll have to wait and see on those. But yeah, I still fancy Forest to win them out of a good defensive combination. As for the offended by everything and ashamed by nothing mob that comes to the City Ground on Sunday, you know what? Fuck, I'm sorry, Liverpool win it 1-0 Forest. I reckon, like Lee said, it'll be a 12-man thing. I think that Klopp has routinely and regularly underestimated the cup competitions until they've got to a certain point, which is normally far beyond this anyway. Like, they sort of fell into the final by accident in the League Cup. And, you know, they don't have a great record in the FA Cup. I think it will be a rotated squad. They've got Arsenal on Wednesday. So that'll be the first team boys out. There's a chance Salah might be injured anyway. So, yeah, but I reckon 1-0 Forest. And we are on the fingertips of Wembley somehow. But regardless, whatever happens, I trust Keenan Davis to launch Virgil van Dijk around like a ragdoll. I trust Mo Salah to be punted into the Trent by Joe Worrall. So, yeah, we'll make it hard for them. No matter what happens, even if we lose, we'll make it hard for them. But I personally think that fourth home game in a row under the lights at the City Grounds, where I feel like everyone, the whole city, is pushing them on. Yeah, we'll do it. Why not? Anyway, we'll find out whether we did or not in a week or so. But until then, take care and make sure you've got your red and white scarf ready for Liverpool on Sunday. Goodbye.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.